I want to take you on a journey this morning because I want us to help us in the days that we're in. And then we'll call them back at the end of the service because I believe it's important to come to the end of this service and just sense that overcoming power of God. I listened carefully to the words that were spoken this morning. And now there may have been individuals who those spoke specifically to, but I really believe that each of those words was actually to the corporate body. Because what we're dealing with in this season of time is something that we haven't had to deal with before, for the most part. And I believe that what he's trying to get us to understand is keep your allegiance and your focus in one place. Don't think that the world has overtaken you. It's not. You're not of this world. The light that is here is in you. Don't receive another voice. There's only two kingdoms. And when you know with all assurance that you're no longer in the kingdom of darkness, then you know that you're in the kingdom of light. But there should be a witness on the inside of you that says, you knew that before you even questioned. Hallelujah. I want to take you on a journey today. I felt this strongly. I didn't know where it was going. I had two words in the beginning of the week, and it has expanded into something that I just find revelatory. I have revelation in myself from this. And so we'll start with Romans 12:1 because it's important. You don't even have to turn there because you know it by heart. Right? And if you don't, probably should. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I want to help us understand how to navigate in these days. And it's actually not that hard. But part of the reason why we have found hardship in these things, the things that are going on in our day, is simply because we don't know what we need until we come to the place where we realize that what we have is not working for us. And we need more. And it's easy to get complacent, and it's easy to find ourselves in places to where we're satisfied with our condition until we suddenly find ourselves unsatisfied because we're not winning. And I want us to understand what winning looks like in this day, and it has nothing to do with politics, believe me. But Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to read a passage here, but I'm going to break it into three sections. And in order for us to understand Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I want to take us on a bit of a journey. And so Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 says this, "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering many times, oftentimes, the same sacrifices which can never take away sin." I'm going to stop there because I've got to draw some attention here because this passage has to be understood in context. Otherwise, it really loses meaning. So you, for the most part, most of you know these things, although I think it's easy to pass over some of this. And that is when this is talking about that priest that oftentimes did the same sacrifice, what's he talking about? When? Old Testament, right? But you see, what we don't understand many times is what it took. I mean, if you start in like Exodus 28 and you go through Leviticus 7, I mean, you want to talk about just by the time you get through Leviticus 7 and go into the next couple chapters after that, you're just going, would you get over this already? Okay, every time that there's a trespass, whether they know it or not, let them bring a bullock into the priest. Let them lay their hands on it and let them kill the bullock. Let them collect the blood. Let them take it and cut it into pieces. Take these pieces and take them outside the camp. Sprinkle the blood over here. Take some of the blood and put it on the horns of the altar or on the table of incense. You've got to cut the kidney fat away. You've got to cut the fat away from the other part. I was a butcher. I know these things. And so when you do this, and then you've got to put this on the altar and lay it in the pieces where it fits, and then take the rest of it and take it outside of camp. Burn that outside of camp, but burn this on the altar. And you just go on and on and on, and you look at this and you're going, this is what it took to do one thing. What is it that they were really after with all the sacrifice? The cloud and the fire. That's the price that it took for the presence of God to lead them and defend them. You can say whatever you want, but the bottom line of their obedience was so that their God would lead them and visit them and keep them. And they did all that sacrifice, and one time, one man, once a year, got to go behind the veil. You think it got dusty in there? I don't know. No light. Do you ever wonder what it was like beyond the veil? You walk into this place, walk through the doors of the tabernacle. There's the laver. There's the altar. You know what them are for. And then there's a door, a tent door. Beyond that are altars of incense and lampstand and showbread and these kinds of things put behind there. And he'd have to go in and every morning trim the lamp, every evening trim the lamp, every week change the bread. And every day come in, wash at the laver, change your clothes, put on the priestly garments, get ready for the sacrifice. And everybody that had a trespass offering or a sin offering or a peace offering coming to the priest, whether it's a bullock, a sheep, a lamb, turtle doves, whatever it is, every day just more of this, and you're going, man, oh man, it's monotonous. And this goes on for like 15 days, I think, is how long they had to do that. I'm just kidding. Hundreds of years. Bringing animals, sacrificing. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time on, from henceforth, expecting, waiting with expectation, till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Then he goes further. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my little parentheses in here. I am no longer going to have a cloud by day and a fire by night to lead them, but I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. You see, I want us to understand something this morning. The presence of God doesn't just come cheaply. It comes with sacrifice. It comes with washing. And it's spoken of in the New Testament. And this is what I want to bring to us today. I think it's so easy to take up what we have reaped from the beautiful work of God and just assume that he just wants to throw it all at us. And yet, what is it that he wants us? And that's why I started with Romans chapter 12, verse 1, because I'm begging you people that we would come before the Lord and offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, because there's still something that is required of us to come before a holy God and to see his presence come into us by his Spirit. And if we cheapen that, what will happen is we'll cheapen the experience, and pretty soon we'll be after goosebumps and not power. But he wants to come and empower us with his Holy Spirit to make us something that this world cannot offer and cannot really comprehend. Presence. Presence is what he brought. Every day, sacrifices. Blood. Incense. Oil. Bread. Always changing it. Always bringing it. Always working at it. So that they could have the presence of God. Verse 19, chapter 10 here. Having, therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. Where's that at? Beyond the veil. By the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So we have boldness to enter, the right. And having an high priest over the house of God, someone who says and still presides over the ways of God. Here's what he says. Let us draw near. Let us come close. With a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful. Do you see the language here that attaches right back to the sacrifices being made? So when we say, let us draw near, that was the two words that were bringing me and pulling me in. Let us draw near. With a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That sounds like we're going into the holy place. Let's go on a little journey, okay? Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. Because you see, in this day, what I have found in my own life, I don't like what's happening in our nation. I don't like it at all. I believe these are definitely perilous times. I don't have a lot of worldwide understanding. But what I do understand is, from just talking to a few people who don't live in this country, how much these other nations are dependent on this nation for stability so that their nations can operate. There's a lot of the world right now that is sweating what's going on in the United States of America. We are struggling with what's here. Some of these other nations, if something happens drastic in this nation, those nations are going into chaos in short order. I talk to people every week in an environment, and they say they are very, very conscious all the time of what's happening in the United States. And they don't live here. There's something about how God is working in these days and what he has told us. But what I want us to come with today is, what is our responsibility in this day? What should be our primary focus? Look, there's all kinds of things we can talk about, and we may talk about some of that tonight if you're available and will come. We're going to talk about some of these things going on, and then we're going to spend some time in prayer. But we're going to settle our hearts in the things of God. Here's what it says in Ephesians 5:25. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So if we're going to be washed, remember what it said in Hebrews chapter 10? It said this, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What is the pure water that's going to wash us? It's the Word. So if we're not interested in the Word, we're not going to participate in the full advantage of what He has provided for us in the veil, coming through the veil. If we're not ready and if we're not willing, you see, if this is a big sacrifice for us that we have to read his word, then what we don't understand is what we've been delivered from. If we think that it's hard to read the word, you think that's hard, you should have had to sacrifice every time you did something wrong and take the bullock and go up there and spend the whole day and stand in line and wait for the priest to come and kill that thing and watch the whole process, have your hands on it, do all the stuff that it takes. And we go, you think this is hard? We've misunderstood the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It should be a natural thing for those of us who understand Romans 12:1 to be diligent about being in his word until it becomes part of who we are. Our bodies are going to be washed with the word of God so that we're inside this kingdom and we don't have to hear some great word from somebody so that we can again perk our ears up and get ourselves in place. No, the word comes from within, where he said he would write the laws of the kingdom and put it on the inside of us so that it would be just like the fire by day and the cloud, the fire by night and the cloud by day. That's what it is. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 8, if you would. This is another place they had to tend all the time. Revelation chapter 8 speaks about something, and we say, okay, what are we supposed to do about this? You know, what does that actually mean in Hebrews chapter 10? The articles that are in the tabernacle, were they just happenstance? Did God just put it in there so that it would be something they would do? And is it something that makes sense, or is it something that actually has great meaning? And if we bring it into the New Testament, we go, oh, okay, well, yeah, that makes sense. Revelation chapter 8, starting in verse 3, it says this, and another angel came and stood at the altar. This isn't on the earth. Having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. The prayers of the saints become the incense that comes up before the throne of God. Now, I want you to think about this, okay? Was the altar of incense so that we could come to prayer, or did he have prayer in mind all the time and put an altar of incense in the tabernacle and in the temple because he knew what we would come to in the new covenant? I believe that's what we have to assume. And yet the idea of this is that how in the world do we understand this altar of incense? I mean, you got to offer this incense every day in this area between the front door and the holy place, the Holy of Holies. You're inside the holy place. So you're behind the first covering, but you're not inside that veil. And that's where the altar of incense is. But who gets to smell it? Offer it every day. Who gets to smell it? It's not like it's wafting out over this area and this. It's contained. There's a covering over this whole thing. But it comes up before God. And it's obedience, because what he smells is their obedience. And it comes up as a sweet savor before him. The incense that was given was exactly prescribed to Moses on the mount. And it was exactly what it is, and gave the exact ingredients. And then he said, and don't you mix this incense for any other reason, because this incense is mine for the holy place. Man, he was particular about that. And then we have this idea that our prayers are like incense that come up before the throne of God. And what he wants to say is, I hear my priests come in every day. And what are they doing? They're offering their prayers to me and recognizing that they're tending the altar of incense every day, coming into this place, because they're not forgetting me. They're putting me in a priority position so that they are always remembering. And it comes up in sweetness before him, because his people can't forget who they love. Does that make sense to you? Man, this just grips my heart, because I'm going, one of the reasons why I think there's so much futility in the world today is we have based ourselves so much on what man can do. It's easy to forget what he wants us to do in our own relationship with him. I'm guilty. But I don't want to be. It's easy to, you know, kind of just go along with the flow. God, it's been so good, it'll be good again, won't it? My wife says, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? My political answer, as I said, we're going to wait 2 years. Hopefully, there'll be a change in the Congress. But politics is not the basis of my hope. Unless I'm drawing near to him, I will be overwhelmed by the things that press my mind. But when I recognize that place of sacrifice, and when I am in that place where the incense comes up before the Lord, then my mind is going to smell something also. And it's going to be in that relationship with God where my prayers become incense. But I'm the one inside the tent, because I'm the one praying. And I will have that relationship of incense with my Father. And I won't be near as alarmed, because I'm doing what he said, and this satisfies my soul. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, if you would. Remember, I said it's going to be a journey, so we're just going to walk through the word a little ways. 1 Peter chapter 1. The first two verses. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Remember Hebrews 10. Did it talk about the sprinkling? Having your conscience, heart, having your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. I want to just make a little correlation here, okay? Do you know who got sprinkled in the Old Testament in the altar of sacrifice? The priest. Before he could go in, they had to sprinkle him with the oil and the blood of the sacrifice. Now you look at that and you're going, does that make any sense to you? Do they wash these clothes? why do you have to take some of the blood and sprinkle it on Aaron and his sons and this kind of stuff? You're going, you know you're making them messy, right? And yet, see, we would probably think more about the mess than we do the obedience and the sacrifice and what actually is being intended, because if he's sprinkled with blood, then he takes that blood with him through that first door and walks in by the blood of the bullock or the lamb or the dove. And it's constantly something that is on him. He's sprinkled, and it actually makes sure that his sins are dealt with, and he goes in as a priest unto God. And we who are made priests unto God ought to be sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ from an evil conscience, from a background that says, before I was a priest, what was I? Who cares? Now you're washed, and now you're garbed, and now you're sprinkled, and now you're going in, and this is where you meet with God, and this is how it works. And this is why we can offer the sacrifice, is because he has brought us in and made us kings and priests unto our God. Oh, it doesn't look like it. I look far from a king or a priest, I'll just tell you. But he has made it possible. And that's the part that I am supposed to be conscious of, to say, I cannot forget who he has made me. I cannot worry about what all is going to happen here, because if I believe that from the Old Testament he initiated sacrifices so that he could bring us into the New Testament and call us to be a sacrifice, if he could call us out of the Old Testament in the altar of incense and bring us in and let us have this fellowship with God through prayer, and it would come up like incense before him, if we could have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and we know that he has put us in to a position that we could never be in ourselves, then surely that would settle our hearts to say, God, if you did all that and you worked all the way through this, then what is this for you? What's going on today? What is it really to you? You could snap your fingers and things would be moved in a moment. Am I going to fret? No. Let me become more of a living sacrifice than I have ever been in my life. Amen. God, I want to be the one who has put things in place and found my priorities so that I'm not guessing in these hours. I am standing in these hours. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 17. I want to read one verse there. Acts chapter 17. And I want to read verse 31. It says this, this is in the middle of a sermon, and he says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, that would be Christ, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Our assurance in the gospel is based on one fact. Now, I want you to understand that. There may be people here who don't understand this. See, it was okay for Jesus to die innocent blood for the remission of sins. He could do that. But when he was raised from the dead, the resurrection symbolized that even if someone died for sin, without sin, death had no right to hold them in a grave. And so our assurance of faith actually comes from the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead, because if death is the one that could take us out, then assurance of faith is the thing that brings us out of the worst threat that this world has to offer, and that is death. And if something overpowers death, then that becomes the full assurance that God can do exactly what he said he would do. Let us draw near with full assurance of faith. God, I don't like my circumstances, but what I know is the power of the resurrection can change any of this at any moment. And even if it doesn't change, It has the ability to take me through the deepest waters that I fear or that I fret about, and yet you are able to see me through. You see, it's easy to come together and hear this worship music and sense the power of God and the beauty of who He is. But Hebrews 10 isn't corporate. It's personal. Nobody else's salvation works for you. Nobody else's faith works for you. Nobody else's incense is coming before the Lord for you. You have to have your own altar of incense. You have to have your own altar of sacrifice. You have to have your own place of working with Him and walking with Him. You have to have your own sprinkling. You have to be in that place of personal obedience to Him. And when you are, He will come and visit you and speak to you, and He will give you the assurance that you need to walk through the worst days of your life. That's why when we have these people who are going through, we had, you know, Diane had surgery this week. Lisa had surgery this week. Gloria's working with a family that is going through deep, deep, deep trial with the husband's got cancer real bad. And it's just wearing the wife out, and they don't know what to do. And there's just things going on. And yet God is in the midst of every one of those things. And that's all we have sometimes. But because we've been in the temple, because we've been in the holy place, it's plenty. It's enough. Because He satisfies us from the inside out. We have a high priest over the house of God. His name is Jesus Christ. But He's the one that enforces the rest of this stuff. And by the witness of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. I mean, folks, if you're here today and you don't have the power of the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, you don't know what you're missing. Man, I'll tell you, I'm sitting down there and standing down there worshiping with these songs and the power of the Spirit of God. It feels like, God, there's not a thing right now that could stand in authority against you as that power surges out of that wellspring that's on the inside. And you come out of this and you're going, God, let the enemy come. I feel like we're invincible. We're going to take this place. Instead of cowering back and going, oh God, what are we going to do? I don't know about you, I don't sacrifice to myself. It's worthless. I couldn't save 3 ants and a flea. Well, I could if I just step in a different place. But you understand what I'm saying. Salvation in Gordy's name? That's as worthless as those things on the lost and found that don't have a home. Right? But when I know my God, because I've been in the holy place with Him, because I have been at that altar of sacrifice, because I've been at the altar of incense, because I've tended the table of showbread, because I have walked through that laver and been washed, and then I'm sprinkled with the blood, and I have these things in my possession, then I can walk in with boldness and confidence, because He has made a way for us to come into places we have no business being. And He's saying, that's what I've wanted all along. Come. My presence will satisfy you. Look, I can't talk you into this, but you have to investigate to see if it's real. And I'm telling you, it's absolutely real. What should we be doing in these days? Two words. Draw near. Come close. Can you feel the beckoning into that, behind that first curtain where He says, just come on in. And you get in there and you see things that you didn't used to be able to see. There's the showbread. There's the candelabra with the oil. There's the table with the different things in there. And then He says, don't stop. Come further. Come further. Come behind the curtain where my mercy seat is. Where my covenant ark is. Come into the secret place where my power rests and when I speak with those who know me. Come in. Don't stop there. Come in closer. When I see these things, and I look at God, what He's wanting to bring to us today, and going, God, I don't even know how to make it so it seems easy, and yet, God, simple. And it really is. It's simple. If I would just take the Old Testament understanding and go, okay, there's sin. What do I need to do? Well, I need to bring a sacrifice. What is that? Me. And I'm going to come and I'm going to get into the Word because I need to be washed first. And then I'm going to come and I'm going to sacrifice to Him and say, God, I want to lay this on the altar. I want to be laid on the altar. And then, God, I want to go in. I want to go in like a priest. I want to be sprinkled again with the blood of sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want to come inside and I want to enjoy when nobody else is there, where we enter in to the closet and we speak in secret and nobody knows. And yet these prayers, it says, come up like incense before the throne of God. And the angel even has that golden censer that he takes from off of that altar and says, here, just waft it up into the air. And the Father goes, that's my people. I hear them. See, I heard that in these words that were given this morning. Be identified with who I have made you. Don't fret. Have I lost you? Have I let you go somehow? Can you not feel my presence? Can you not sense my drawing? Can you not understand my beckoning? Just come. It's not complicated. What's your greatest concern? What's your greatest care? Is it something I can't do? Oh, do you trust me? Can you trust me? First Thessalonians chapter 5. In verses 23 and 24, it says this, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly or totally. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he adds just a short little verse. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. See, what I want us to understand today, I mean, I realize that in this place, there are people who are walking through hard places. Granted, some of you are facing some unknowns. Some of you are facing some chaos. I saw a man right over here leading worship this morning. That when it came to family, suddenly couldn't sing anymore. Why? Because the burden of his heart is very real for his family. Is that unreal? No, it's one of the deep cries of a heart, isn't it? How many of you have family that you can't bear to see the position they're in right now? And yet, what were we singing? Were we singing just words? Or was it actually words of God that have been given us by truth, which makes it faith, and therefore we operate in it and say, even for my family, God, even for my family. God, I don't see how you're going to do it, but there's so many things I don't know how you're going to do it. But what I do is I trust you because I am coming to the altar of sacrifice and I'm laying myself out before my God, and you're the one who told me that these things would happen. And if we have this kind of relationship, then I can trust you. Some of you are walking through health issues. I struggle a little bit sometimes, and I don't want to say this in any crass way. Please understand that I'm not trying to diminish or anything like that. For those of us, I've been through some large health issues, and it's been a long time now, but it's still, you remember very well. You remember your vulnerabilities. We're in the COVID crisis, you know. We who are kept by the power of God are not necessarily exempt from death. It's just that death can't hold us. Therefore, we have a resurrection as soon as we die. And it's into a place that makes this place look like a septic tank. If that's not graphic enough. It's true, and you know it. But sometimes because we enjoy what we have, we just get so enamored and so fastened to it that we go, God, I really like this, and I don't want to see anything change. And he's going, maybe you should read Ecclesiastes 3 again. To everything, there is a season. And what does that mean? Everything changes. Some of us are getting a little older. You can sense the changes. Is he still God? Do we think more about our death sometimes than we used to? You might say. Do you wonder how you should finish out days sometimes? Do you wonder where you should spread yourself and how you should do it to make your best efforts to make sure that he is glorified in your life and yet you're not as strong as you used to be and there's things that cloud it and sometimes even health issues. And yet we go, God, you know all this. Why would I think that somehow I'm going to operate in my own strength in the middle of something where I can't even judge my own strength? God, if you want me to do something, then you're going to have to empower me. But actually, that's the way it's been all along. We just didn't sense it so much. Amen? There's a verse in Isaiah 40 that I was just pondering. Isaiah 40, verse 9 says this, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up and be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Why is that important? Because it is God that gave them Jerusalem and the cities of Judah in an everlasting covenant. And if I have to hear something from a prophet, it is this. Remember what God has promised. Church, behold your God. Look on him again and don't let your hearts faint. River of life. Behold your God. I don't know if that sounds like rhetoric to me. I'll guarantee you this, it's not intended that way. Who is that that we're supposed to look up to? The one who made heaven and earth. That's where our help comes from. He is our everything. When we sing these songs, they're meaningless unless my eyes are fastened on a God who can fulfill every part of it. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when it feels like you're not, you're working. Hallelujah. I've got one more passage I want to read to you. Psalm 62. Psalm 62 says this. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. A couple verses in there that say, this is what's around you. However, verse 5. I got to finish 4. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Verse 5. My soul, here's my instruction. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. You people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Do you believe that? Who have I in heaven besides you? See, I'm just trying to bring something out this morning that I feel God wants us to understand. I don't have to do great things. I need to actually do simple things when I'm pressed. I need to get back in the altar. I need to get back to the laver. I need to get back to the altar of incense. I need to get back to the table of showbread. I need to see the lamp is lit and tend it with the beautiful oil of the Holy Spirit. It's just the simple things, because when I'm in a good place, I'll think right. When I'm in the right place with God, I may have some things that come up in my mind, but the Spirit of God from the inside will quickly mount up a defense against that and say, wait, wait, wait. God is your refuge and your strength. He is the rock of your salvation. I have no reason for you to fret. I will tell you who you are and that he is with you, and he will be your guide and your counselor. He will be your cloud by day and your fire by night. Do what he has asked you to do, and he will always do what he has promised to do. Does that resonate in your heart this morning? Who are you supposed to do in this? What are you supposed to do in this day? Be the priest. Make the sacrifice. What is a sacrifice to God? When I take him at his word and I understand that I'm included in his plan and I lay down my rights, my understanding, my concerns, and my worries, there's my sacrifice. I say, God, not my will. That's when you become the Jesus in this world. It's when you can say, God, not my will. I gladly lay on the altar of sacrifice for your name. I want to pray with you this morning. Worship team, if you'd come. Heavenly Father, I love calling you that because you're the overseer. In my mind, I picture you looking down over this ball of earth. Nothing is hidden from you, and you know everything about it. Nothing surprises you. You knew we would come to this day. You knew what 2021 in our calendar looked like. And yet, even in this world where we don't even share the same calendars with everybody, you've got a day marked. Father, we are sometimes overwhelmed with the affairs of this world because we live in a fallen culture, in a fallen humanity that is constantly before us. And we who serve a God who is perfect in truth, perfect in justice and mercy, God, sometimes our hearts just get overtaken with the injustice and the lack of truth and integrity. And it grieves our hearts and our spirits, oh God, and we sometimes fret, God, how will you do anything with this? And yet, we're probably not asking the right questions. You did tell us there will be dark days in this earth. Jesus, you're the one that said, hey, guys, I just want to tell you, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Father, I thank you for everyone that's here. And God, this may be difficult for some to understand, but by your Spirit, you'll make it very real. God, we've got to come clean and say, I haven't been diligent about getting in your word, and I wonder why I'm not washed. I haven't been spending time just talking with you in my secret place or in my time that's away, and yet I wonder why I feel alone at times and why I don't feel your fellowship. I haven't been making the sacrifice, and I wonder why sometimes I don't feel like I've been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ, and I doubt my salvation at times. And yet, God, you're the one that's doing the work, and you're saying there's a high priest, and he will sprinkle you again. Just come close. Draw near. Come in. Don't wait. Why stay outside? The way has been paid. The veil has been torn. You can come all the way into the mercy seat, and you'll find that place where the presence of God sits right there, and he hears you and he sees you and he knows your voice. God, I pray that there would be a breakthrough in the lives of many. Not because this is so profound in some way, but because, God, we finally get to the place where, God, who am I in heaven but you? You're everything. If you don't do something, nothing will be done. But I'm not going to fret worrying about what can be done. I give myself to you. Father, I pray that you're speaking into hearts and minds right now, just like we speak Jesus over every heart and every mind. Why? So we'll be captivated by the truth that comes from outside this world. I don't need more news. I don't need more information. I need truth. Father, thank you for truth. God, I pray that we would learn to wait for you, settle ourselves in you, knowing, God, that you are the only one who satisfies the soul. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you that you speak peace in the midst of trouble. Thank you, God, that your voice to us, it's like the settledness of rain. You're just going, it's beautiful. It's just cleansing. It brings life. God, help us not to be in a hurry to get to the next thing. Can we wait on you, oh God, and let us be drawn into that place? God, you're the one that said, if you will draw near to me, then I will draw near to you. And I, God, I want you to draw near to me. I want it to be so close, oh God, that there's not a question of who you're talking to. You're talking to me. May that be our heart's cry this morning, oh God. May we draw near with a true heart, full assurance because of the resurrection, having our hearts sprinkled, renewed, put in position. Speak to us, Spirit of God. Just speak. Let it, even now, We love when people give words, oh God, but God, speak to every individual heart. Do we hear you? Can we hear you? Can we sense your assurance today? Can we stay in this place, oh God, to where we're at peace and we're at rest and we are so satisfied because we know that we are yours and you're right here. Thank you, God. God, we don't want to be owned by somebody else. We don't want to have an allegiance to somebody else. I love the simplicity of who you are, God. Wash us, God. Wash us with the water of your word. Wash us, oh God. Wash us, oh Lord. Cleanse us with your word. Oh, Spirit of God. You're writing the laws on our hearts, and in our minds you make it clear. Thank you, God, you've satisfied every question. And the full assurance of your power, God, by your resurrection lives in me. God, I trust you that you raised Jesus from the dead. But God, will you raise me? I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be found in my own strength. God, I want to be in you. Let the altar of incense, oh God, be rekindled. Let there be smoke arising from my own life. Let it come up before your throne, oh God. Let that power of spirit that raised Christ from the dead, let it be my confidence in this day, oh God. Be sanctified from the inside out, oh God, spirit, soul, and body, forever sanctified, oh God, not something that I hope for, but something I live in, oh God. Make me yours supernaturally, Lord God, outside of my own strength, outside of my own understanding. I am yours. I am yours. You satisfy me, oh God. Oh, you satisfy me. It's your word. Makes sense in my spirit. I receive your words, oh God, engrafted in my heart. I love your voice. It's my assurance, oh God. I love what you say. I love how you work. God, I can't rely on my eyes. I can't rely. I rely on your truth, oh God. Convince me again, oh God.